Please welcome Regional Vice President of NeighborWorks America, Mr. Donald Phoenix.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to let you know that NeighborWorks America is very proud of our partnership and sponsorship of Piece by Piece. And the family of NeighborWorks is very excited about the new leaders that recently took the helm of NeighborWorks America. Paul Weish recently became our sixth CEO of NeighborWorks America. Paul brings more than 25 years of experience and excellent leadership in community and economic development as well. He came to NeighborWorks from Housing Partnership Network, where he was Executive Vice President for Policy and External Affairs. His other experiences include serving as Chief of Staff at the Small Business Administration, Staff Director of the Subcommittee of Housing and Community Development for the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs. Paul also was a senior analyst for Housing and Credit for the U.S. Senate Committee on Budget. For Paul, home is less about the physical structure, but it's a place where he actually lives and people care about each other, so that's what home means to him. He is an avid soccer player. Yes, he plays soccer, and we talked about it last night. He's better than me because I don't play. Yeah, and Paul, in the sport, he really cherishes the camaraderie of his teammates as well as the competition and physical exercise. The name NeighborWorks is very intriguing to Paul. It's about the work that our communities do in the communities we serve and the success in creating that very important sense of neighboring, Paul says. Neighbors looking out for each other and caring about the community. Paul describes himself as a servant leader, that's a good listener and an optimist, and he states that his life purpose is to leave this world a better place than what it was when he arrived. Can you join me in welcoming Paul Weish? Yes.
Well, thank you, Don, for that kind introduction. It means an awful lot to me to be introduced by someone who enjoys the respect of everybody in the room. I'm really enjoying getting to know Don Phoenix and working with him, and I'm looking forward to many, many years of working together to support the southern region of NeighborWorks. I'm looking out at the audience, and I'm a little concerned that so many are in the back row, and some of these front row seats are empty, so please feel free to come forward after my remarks. I figured what people must know something I don't know, and I'm wondering if, do you all know the comedian Gallagher, who used to end his acts by smashing watermelons with a heavy hammer here in the front? You guys in the front may need some plastic sheets for when Gallagher shows up later. As Don just outlined, I'm not new to the housing and community development field. My very first job in the housing and community development field was about 30 years ago. I joined the Federal Office of Management and Budget, OMB, where I landed in the housing branch that oversaw the HUD budgets and a variety of small agencies. My very first account as a budget examiner at OMB was NeighborWorks America. So I figure out now that I've got this role, turnabout's fair play. I've been working with NeighborWorks throughout my whole career, and they're great people, and it's a great organization. But I'm very, very new to this role. In fact, I'm celebrating my 41st business day in this job. So no tough questions at the end about NeighborWorks and what it does, but I've got some great, great folks in the audience who work with me who can help where I'm still lacking gaps in my knowledge of what's going on. These first two months at NeighborWorks have been a whirlwind of briefings and discoveries. And I have to say, I have been blown away by what I found since joining this team on the 20th of January. I've been impressed by the scale and scope of our works and more importantly, by the quality and thoughtfulness of the people with whom I get to work with every day. For those of you who don't know us, NeighborWorks America is a congressionally chartered 501c3 nonprofit with a 35-year history. Today, we support a network of about 250 rigorously chosen nonprofits in the housing and community development field, and we support them with grants, technical assistance, and training. When I say rigorous, what I mean is that one of our hallmark things that we do at NeighborWorks is organizational assessments of the nonprofits that we allow into the network. This means that every 3 years we do an on-site examination, similar to what bank examiners would do for their banks. And every year we do some desk sort of audit of their financials and other reporting to ensure that the organizations are keeping up to snuff. To paraphrase Garrison Keillor, let me start another way. We have all strong organizations. But to paraphrase Garrison Keillor, not all of our organizations are above average. But we do know who they are, and we have tools then that we can intervene and help those organizations rebuild something in their business, help them through transitions, and help them to continue to do their work in communities. Here in the Atlanta region, our members include Resources for Residents and Communities of Georgia, led by Jill Arrington, and the Atlanta Neighborhood Development Partnership, run so ably by Peace to Peace leader John O'Callaghan. When I reflect on the scale and scope, one of the things that really blew me away when I came to NeighborWorks America, it's our NeighborWorks training institutes. For those of you who hadn't been, please talk to Don and his people about how to get a slot at the training institutes. We host these training institutes 4 times a year. Nearly 2,000 professionals in the housing community development field show up for each one of these. The sheer logistics of what my team does are impressive. We will generally get all of the rooms in 3 or 4 hotels in the city where we're going. We will get all of their meeting spaces. And we will also probably usually need to spill over into the convention center and have space to put on classes for these 200,000 professors. And that's another important part of the scale and scope of what we're doing. We're putting on over 100 classes, workshops, and training sessions for these professionals, which means we've hired 100 experts from around the country to teach those classes. They're well done, well regarded, valuable, and we're through these trainings, we are making the nonprofit sector even stronger. NeighborWorks is also an important grant maker. This fiscal year, Congress has entrusted us with a core appropriation of $135 million. We plan to distribute about $86 million of that money to our network organizations and other nonprofits around the country. As a measure of our strength in grant making, is in 2007, Congress entrusted us with the creation of the National Foreclosure Mitigation Counseling Program, NFMC. The NeighborWorks team, showing their high quality skill and dedication, was able to set up that program 60 days after the president signed it into law. The program has dramatically increased the resources available to support families at risk of foreclosure or of losing their homes. By the end of February this year, NFMC will have served about 85,000 Georgians and 59,000 residents in Metro Atlanta alone. Since the founding of the NFMC program, we've carefully deployed more than $800 million to train counselors and help homeowners avoid foreclosures. By the end of this year, the number of people that NFMC will have served will exceed 2 million families. This program has made a very, very big difference for those who got help. An Urban Institute evaluation found that homeowners who worked with NFMC counselors were nearly 3 times more likely to obtain money-saving mortgage modifications, and they were about 60% less likely to redefault after recovering from serious delinquencies than homeowners who did not get this support. That said, we're here today because the foreclosure crisis is not over. The recovery across the country has been uneven, to say the least. The effects still linger. Many places have not yet recovered, as our friend Spencer Cowan depressingly pointed out. And we are here today because we're ground zero. In Metro Atlanta, 35% of homeowners are still underwater, though I think I heard someone say that the the good man from HUD, that we're now into 27. It's still way too high, and the work still needs to continue. The presence of, as you all know, the presence of vacant foreclosed homes affects the desirability of a neighborhood, retards its ability to come back. We at NeighborWorks want to do what we can to help the recovery, to help put vacant homes back to use, to help rebuild demand for housing in hard-hit neighborhoods, and to help those who want to buy a home to do so. Last year, through our Neighborhood Lift program, using funds entrusted to us by Wells Fargo, we awarded $5.6 million in down payment assistance grants to 370 home buyers here in the Atlanta market to help rebuild demand in the city. Two NeighborWorks organizations, RRC and NeighborWorks Columbus, partnered to administer the program. We have also chosen the Atlanta Neighborhood Development Partnership as one of the first organizations in our experimental catalytic grant program. Under the Catalytic Grant Program, we provided ANDP with $250,000 and other technical assistance supports to implement a program of physical development and quality of life interventions across several suburban counties. ANDP will construct and rehabilitate vacant single-family homes and, with down payment assistance, sell them to working families. They will also create opportunities for residents to get engaged in community revitalization by, for example, hosting cleanup days in those communities. All of this is with the ambitious, aspirational goal of reducing the underwater rates in those areas. The Catalytic Grant Program is testing the hypothesis that with strategic investments, we can turn around the market perception of a neighborhood. In other parts of the country, the Catalytic Grant Program is implementing a range of creative strategies under the rubric of community marketing, designed to identify community assets, amplify the community's strengths, grow residents' pride and confidence, and attract and retain businesses. The program develops a brand new identity for a place that will make others want to invest, make others want to live there, and help bring property values back. We're doing what we can with limited resources to help the recovery in hardest hit communities. These are just a few of the things that are going on throughout the NeighborWorks network. I'm a guy that strongly believes in policy and practice, and so I think what I'd like to do with the rest of my remarks is to reflect a little bit on what all this means for policy and practice and what it should mean going forward. So my overall comment is that it's critical that we institutionalize the lessons learned from the crisis to develop new tools to help those communities left behind as the recovery unfolds. And going forward, we should all be keenly aware that even when we are able to return to quote-unquote normal times, on average in America, every year, about 250,000 people face foreclosure. It is always with us, and we need to make sure that we learn the lessons from this crisis to be effective at intervening whenever we need to in the future. So how can we better ameliorate the impact of these devastating moments for families and communities? Let me suggest six lessons learned and actions we should take. First, we need to focus on early intervention strategies for those families who get into trouble paying their mortgages. We've learned that if we engage families as early as possible, the range of options for helping them increases. With early contact, we increase the probability of keeping people in their homes and increase our ability to avoid many of the destructive impacts of foreclosures on communities. Second, we need to embed homeowner education and housing counseling into the mortgage finance system. Home buyers, lenders, mortgage investors all benefit if we have better prepared consumers. Sometimes the value of pre-purchase counseling is helping a potential buyer decide that he or she is not yet ready to own a home. This is what sustainable homeownership is made of. We also need readily available set of organizations that have built the relationship with the consumer through the home buying process, who can serve as an early warning system and support system after home purchase if that home buyer or family gets into trouble. Third, we need to better provide hybrid tenure tools that can bridge between renting and owning. We would benefit by having scaled models. People need a place to live while they rebuild their credit. What a better way to think about it than a lease-to-own situation where they're familiar with the house and the neighborhood that they will eventually buy. I've long believed that HUD's Federal Housing Administration should revitalize the 203K program, which was designed for acquisition and rehab and would be an ideal tool for the nonprofits in my network to be able to set up lease-to-purchase models going forward. Fourth on my list, we need to rebuild the path to sustainable home ownership for low-income families who want to buy a home, period. Our nation's home ownership rate has fallen to 63.5%. This is the lowest rate it's been in 20 years. Credit remains tight due to the market uncertainty and new regulatory structural reforms. It's very, very difficult for someone to buy a home if they are low income out there now. And I believe that the nonprofit sector that I represent can play an important role in leading the way back. The nonprofits in the NeighborWorks network are already embedded in their communities and play a role of trusted advisors to the people who live there. Which leads me to sort of my fifth and related lesson learned or action step we need to take. And that is we need to invest in the power of social enterprise models to do this work. Social enterprise nonprofits apply business-like principles to pursue their missions of supporting communities. Social entrepreneurs in the home ownership space are building horizontally integrated fee-for-service business models linking homebuyer education, down payment assistance, and mortgage lending programs. This work is the predicate for those organizations becoming financially sustainable, and it's also about creating models that are scalable so they can increase their impacts and serve more home buyers. And last but not least, I really believe in the power of networks. Through networks of nonprofit organizations like NeighborWorks, we can create the mechanism for rapid dissemination of innovation and the adoption of best practices. By interacting and partnering with other nonprofits across the country, NeighborWorks organizations learn from each other and strengthen their own approaches. This is about organizations in Atlanta sharing with those in Chicago to learn from one another and learn what's working, what's not, and moving to better places more quickly. Networks also allow the potential for combinations, and I'm excited that this is happening within the network that I support. The combinations of different players who come together and one strong in one thing, one strong in the other, but together they can build something that's bigger and stronger and more scalable and cover more geography. And I like the power of networks for that. Throughout the foreclosure crisis, we at NeighborWorks have tried to use the power of our network to have exactly these kinds of impacts. So anyways, in closing, I'm a feeler, and I'm deeply saddened by the lingering pain in too many communities, including those here in Atlanta. And I'm here to embrace the central theme of this convening. The effects of the foreclosure crisis are still with us. We have much work to do to bring back those communities that were damaged so severely. Yet, I am also energized by the opportunity presented to me in my new role to get out into communities of this country, to ensure that we are continuing to innovate for solutions, and to put in place those new approaches that I just talked about, those new institutions that reflect the lessons we have learned. You know, through NeighborWorks' organizational assessments, through our grant making, through our training acumen, we can help build the skills and business acumen of the nonprofit sector to make it an even greater force for good going forward. So I stand with all of you in this room in dedicating myself to try and make a difference in America's communities so that our citizens can live in decent homes, in better, safer, healthier, and supportive communities. And I just challenge us all to let's build this future piece by piece. Let's make it happen. Thank you. I'm certainly willing to take some comments or questions if anybody is so moved in the audience. And as I said, if it's a tough NeighborWorks question, I may call on my colleagues.
I'm Joe Stoner. I'm curious as to what you're doing in these programs to integrate renters, which seem to be a significant part of our future into neighborhood networks and become responsible citizens of the neighborhoods.
That's a fabulous question. Thank you for asking it. So we have a whole division that's dedicated to the nonprofits in our network who are in the rental business. I think it's approximately 100 organizations have rental properties of some sort or another, and to date it's about 110,000 units under management. by those. And so in some ways, my call, for hybrid tenure models is a reflection of that there's, how do I want to say, I'm agnostic on what form of tenure people take, so long as it's a decent home and it's well managed and provides people with a safe place to live and it's affordable. So the beauty, one of the things that happened in the foreclosure crisis is it forced an awful lot of my members who were in the home ownership business. You know, they were developing single family homes for sale, and with the meltdown and the cutoff of credit, they quickly became owners of rental properties very quickly. And it's been kind of a long-standing conversation in the nonprofit sector about scattered site rental housing and the economics of it. It's challenging unless you can get to a very, very serious scale. And I'm talking thousands of units. In my previous job, we had a partnership with, an international partnership with nonprofits in the United Kingdom. And there, as a result of stock transfers that happened 30 years ago, they're managing huge inventories of what we would consider scattered site single-family rental. And it's because of the scale of their enterprises they're able to do some things around property management and tenant management that we have yet to get a nonprofit model in this country up to a scale where we can do kind of scattered site single-family rental housing that's neighborhood sensitive, that good at managing tenant relations, and good at housing repairs that it's required by doing good property management because it's expensive. So I hope those are some loose thoughts. I hope those are responsive to your question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Tillman Ward, President of Community Resources of Vine City. I enjoyed your comments earlier. My question is, in the Vine City community, we're a historic neighborhood, and as we put the different pieces and parcels together to make the beloved neighborhood, and your comments on reviewing policy and practice, it was documented 50 years ago that the home ownership rental was not as it should be. The number of people living, as Mr. Keeler would say, below average with incomes, being next door to downtown, vibrant downtown. How is it that 50 years later, with 30 organizations saying they love us, they help us, they're advocating for us, and they represent us, as a lifelong resident of the general area, we don't know half of them, how is it that we can, at some point, compare notes, those who need help and those who can help? We can convene that kind of conversation. And lastly, preservation. How does that mix with beautification? There are those who appreciate the compliment of some historic properties, buildings, as the Preservation Society has this month. For example, what they used to call shotgun houses in Cabbage Town, we now call Victorian cottages with imagination and hard work. How can you help us?
How can I help you? Well, I think there are a couple of things. One, I would urge the community leadership of your neighborhood, if you aren't already in contact with our NeighborWorks organizations here, that they would be a first line of attack. Both John O'Callaghan and his team, and Jill and her team, would be good to just get them on the phone and sort of ask what kinds of advice they can give you. It sounds to me, without knowing the geography in the neighborhood, that your community is an ideal place for the kind of catalytic grant approach. We have finite grants. I'm not promising you a grant, but there's some approaches about it. It starts with kind of getting the residents and other civic leaders together to assess what assets they have in the community. And it sounds like your Victorian homes and the history of the community strikes me as an asset upon which you could readily build to kind of try and change the market perception of the area and encourage other investment to come in and support the redevelopment of the community. Those are my initial thoughts. I mean, one of the interesting things, when I said under the rubric of community marketing in my speech, one of the interesting things that this experimental program, the Catalytic Grants, is doing is we're actually working with the communities and bringing in some graphic design help and creating a logo for the neighborhood. So it's really a branding of a space that I think we're very, very, we see it around the country. It's occurring more and more, not just in our grant program, but it's a first step in towards getting people to look at a place differently and take a new look at it as on the path, hopefully, to some sort of revitalization. Those are some loose thoughts, but I'm sure there's also some folks in our neighborhood regional office, NeighborWorks regional office here, who'd be glad to give you some other ideas or resources that they're aware of in the community that you might tap into. Any more questions? Again, I couldn't be more pleased to be working for NeighborWorks America and couldn't be more pleased to have had this opportunity to come down and spend time with you all today. And we have lots of great people in the room who work for us and with us as our NeighborWorks organization. And I hope you continue to value their great work and integrate them into the challenges that we're talking about today. So thank you.